Amen. Amen. That's an encouraging song. Leave it there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Yeah. You know, don't you, you know, sometimes we have things that in our lives that we spend a lot of times trying to fix on our own. And all the time, when we try to fix something on our own, we end up messing it up a little bit worse. But it's good to know that God has given us the ability and the privilege to be able to take whatever it is that you deal with, you struggle with, and just leave it there. That's a wonderful thing. I love the idea of just leaving it there. Because when you think about leaving it there, what he really is saying is, don't come back and get it. Drop it off and let it be done. When I was in college, I was a spoiled little guy. I ain't going to tell you no tale. I was a little spoiled. And my grandmother worked taking care of the elderly. And she still does that. And I was in my apartment. And my apartment didn't have any washer and dryer. So what I would do is I would round up all my clothes. And I would take them to my grandmother. And I would leave them there. Yeah, I would leave them there. And she would take those clothes. And if I had a hole in my shirt, she'd fix it. If I had a button missing, she'd fix it. And then she would clean them all up and fold them up all really nicely. And when I saw those clothes again, they looked different. And I didn't ever in my life, when I dropped those clothes off, did I ever think to myself something was going to be wrong with what I left her. I always knew it was going to be better than it was when I left it. And that's the way God is when he tells us about our burdens. If you got some holes in your pockets, he's going to sew them up. If you're missing some buttons, he's going to put them on. And then if they're dirty, he's going to clean them up and give it back to you better than you had them before. It's good to be able to leave it there. Amen. Turn your Bibles to, and I want to thank the brothers who came prior to me and prepared this service, the scripture reading, the prayer, and the songs. If you would, turn your Bibles to the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I think it's a passage of scripture that we will study for a period of time, but we're just going to kind of touch it just a little bit tonight, and then we'll get on out. But in the 12th chapter, the 12th verse, it says, Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts. And all the parts are on one body. Somebody say, one body. One body. One body. Even though there are many, we are all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free. We were all given one spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part by many. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not the hand, does that mean it's not a part of the body? If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because it's not an eye, does that mean it's not a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to hearing? And if the whole body were an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body part, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. Or in turn, the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Instead, the parts of the body that people think are the weakest are the most necessary. The parts of the body that we think are less honorable are the ones we honor the most. The private parts of our body that aren't presentable, the private parts of body that our body aren't presentable are the ones that are given the most dignity. The parts of the body that are presentable don't need this. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts with less honor, so that there won't be division in the body. And so the parts might have mutual concern for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part gets the glory, all parts celebrate with it.
You are the body of Christ and the parts of each other.
From this scripture, I want to give you a very simple topic. One body. One body. As we think about our relationship with God, as particularly as we think about our relationship with God as the body of Christ, it's important for us to realize that everybody has their own role. And there is no role that is more important than another role. And sometimes what happens is that we look at what others do, we look at how others are celebrated, and in many cases, it causes us to be less effective because we want the role that is not ours. But the Bible says, what if the eye said, I don't need the ear? Or the ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? Or what if the head, well, let me make sure I say it right. What if the head said, I don't need the foot? So what happens if we decide that we don't need each other? What happens is the entire body struggles. See, if you get something in your eye, your brain activates your head, your hand, to remove whatever it was that was in your eye out. But what would happen if the eye didn't have the brain to activate the hand? We would struggle. And what happens is that many times we find ourselves stagnant. And the reason why we find ourselves stagnant is because we don't understand and truly embrace how important every member of the body is. See, the body, and I love that Paul uses a physical analogy to describe the church and the body because it's something that we can really understand. See, because we all have bodies. I know he uses the idea of hands and eyes and head and feet, but there's more to the body, the physical body, than just those members. What about the liver? Have you ever heard of anybody celebrating the liver? Anybody ever said, now I heard people say, ooh, girl, you got some pretty eyes. But no, I never heard a man say, ooh, girl, you got a great liver. Have you ever heard that before? But the liver is important because the liver helps to keep our body clean. And the Bible says that those things that we think are less important are the things that God actually gives honor. What does that mean? So the liver, we might think because we don't see it, it's not important. But what God has done is he has protected the liver by skin and muscle and blood. He's done everything he could to protect the liver because the liver allows us to walk around with pretty eyes. Y'all follow me? The reason why we're talking about this is because we have to have a certain sense of pride about what we are in the body. See, let me tell you, if everybody was to speak, who would we speak to? If everybody's a preacher, who would we preach to? You know, so it's important that every role is honored and respected. So the first thing is that you got to have pride in your body part. The second thing is you have to have a sense of purpose as it relates to your body part. The one thing I love about the natural body is that the natural body never tries to do something that it's not designed to do. The only way the foot is going to try to write is if the body doesn't have any hands. But if you give a foot, if you put your foot and everything is normal in that body, the only thing the foot is going to try to do is carry you. You will never see the foot wake up in the morning and start trying to do something different than walk. Y'all follow me? I know it's so simple, but it's just true. You never see the foot get up in the morning and say, you know what? I'm going to cook breakfast this morning. Why? Because the foot will be serving outside of its purpose. Now, the body does react when something is missing, but if the body is normal, It does exactly what it's designed to do, and it does not try to do anything else. See, but I did say the body does act when something is missing. And so often in our relationship, and so often in the body of Christ, we are put into positions to do things that are outside of our purpose because what should be serving the purpose isn't there. See, there's somebody that's not here, that's the hand. And what's happening is somebody else is working overtime trying to be the hand because the hand is missing. See, but what we have to do is we have to go and locate the hand, bring the hand back to the body so that everybody can work in their natural, the way they were naturally designed. But in order for, and when we're injured, see, sometimes when we're injured, we have to act and we have to respond the way the natural body responds. What do you mean by that, Brother Mason? Has anybody ever fallen or hurt their knee or sprained their ankle or did anything like that? You know what the body does? As soon as you hurt your ankle, it swells up. Anybody else seen that happen? Your knee. If you hurt your knee, you hurt your ankle, it swells up. Do you know why the body swells up? Huh? Protection. What happens is the blood rushes to the ankle, and the blood begins to surround the ankle so that the body knows this is hurt. And when the body begins to get better, the blood goes back to another area. Well, that's what we have to do when our body parts are injured. When we are missing a hand or a liver or an ear or an eye, then our body has to respond just like the physical body. We need to rush to that area. Begin to protect it. Make sure it's whole again. And then once it's whole again, then we can go back into doing what we're naturally designed to do. The one thing about your body is your body doesn't play well. It doesn't act like it's well if it doesn't, if it's not. You know, when I hurt my knee this summer, and I've been going through physical therapy for what? About 10 weeks now. They're almost done with me. But when I hurt my knee this summer, my knee stayed swollen until it was better. You follow me? My knee did. I didn't hurt my knee on Friday. It swelled up on Saturday and Sunday. I had a hurt knee, and then Monday all the swelling left. You know why? Because it's the swelling still, the blood still was doing its job. Sometimes what happens is we lose a body part. We struggle with someone that's missing or a body part that is missing, and we rush to that area, but we only do it temporarily. We don't stay with the part until it's back home. But what ends up happening is when we leave the body or we leave the part that is injured, and we come back and start running and doing what we're supposed to do as if it's not injured, then in all actuality, we all suffer. I was in therapy, and I was working on this knee, and the lady, the physical therapist said to me, she said, okay, we need to strengthen your hamstrings and your glutes. And I said, my hamstrings and my glutes don't hurt. I said, it's my knee that hurts. She said, yeah, but when your knee is hurt and you got weak hamstrings and weak glutes, it's impossible for the knee to get back together and do what it's supposed to do because you are trying to put more weight on a bad knee because the areas that are supposed to be working to help your knee are not strong enough to do it. So when I go to therapy, it's crazy to me. When I leave, don't you know that my knee never hurts me? It never hurts. My hamstring and my glutes hurt. My hamstring and my glutes. And I said, this is really interesting because I'm tempted sometimes to stop working out the hamstring and the glutes because they hurt. But in order for my knee to work, I got to get my hamstrings and my glutes strong. You follow me? But my hamstrings and my glutes are saying to me, Darwin, leave me alone. I ain't messed up nothing. But in order for the whole body to work, I got to build up that area too. What are you talking about, Brother Mason? Sometimes we got a missing part of the body, and it hurts us. And what happens is, it hurts us, and what happens is we decide, I'm tired of hurting my hamstrings and my glutes because the hand left or the knee left. So what we start doing is we stop working out the hamstring. We stop working out the glute because we feel like it's not the hamstring or the glute's fault that the knee is hurt. Y'all follow me? But the Bible says when one part is hurting, we all hurt. So I had to tell my hamstrings and my glutes, get it together. Because if I get you right and I get you right, once I get this right, then we all feeling better. You follow me? It's just one body. One body. So why are you saying so? So you got to know what your purpose is. You got to have pride in your body part. And then you got to be prepared to work it. You got to be prepared. See, that's all the hamstrings and glutes, that's all they're doing right now. They're preparing me. She said, Mr. Mason, what is it that you want to do with this knee? Now, I thought that was a dumb question at first. And I said, what do you mean? She said, what is it? How do you want your knee to perform? What is your goal? And I said, well, I want to be able to play basketball again. And I want to run. And she said, okay, well, if you want to run and if you want to play basketball again, then it's important that we work out all of this. Now, if you just want to walk, you can leave now. But if you want to really grow and you really want this knee to function at its highest capacity, then we got to work it all out. And that's what we are preparing ourselves to do right now. We are working the whole body because without it, when one of us is missing, the whole body is working beneath its capacity. But we got to be prepared for it. What does that look like? That means we got to be serious about our study. We got to know what it is that we are supposed to be saying to people that are not here when we go and meet with them. We got to be serious about our study. We got to be serious about our own lives and our own sinfulness. We got to be honest with ourselves. Because the worst thing in the world to do when you're trying to save someone else is for them to look at you as a hypocrite. Y'all know, you know why you don't talk to some people. You know, some of us will not evangelize on our jobs. And the reason why we won't evangelize on our jobs is because they see us acting a fool every day. They do. They see us acting up every day. And they think to themselves, oh, this is crazy. Not if you going to heaven, I don't want to go. Yeah. When I first started speaking years ago, I was telling a lady at my job, I was working, and I was telling her I was teaching the high school and the middle school class at church. And I'm going to tell you, I probably wasn't doing everything I should have been doing at work. You know, I probably didn't have a Christ-like attitude, you know, everywhere I was going. And we were in conversation, and I was telling her, you know, yeah, you know, lead in the ministry of music, and I was teaching the 7th and 8th grade class and the high school class. And the lady at work said, you teach? The middle school class? You teach the high school class? I said, yeah. She said, this ought to be interesting. That's what she said. And what she was saying is, ain't no way that who you are on Monday through Friday can flip and be something else on Sunday morning to help somebody else. It was the most humbling comment that I probably ever had in my life. I knew at that point in time that I was not prepared to carry out the gospel, and the reason why I wasn't prepared is because my life wasn't right. So we have to prepare ourselves by studying the word. We also have to prepare ourselves by just doing right. Just doing right. You can't fake right. You either are doing it or you're not. But everybody that's around you knows if you're not. And everybody around you knows if you are. So you gotta have pride in your body part. You have to have a purpose and know what it is that you do. What do you do? That's what I want. Let's think about this week. What is it that you do well for God? What is it? What is your purpose? It can't just be here to come here on Sunday and Wednesday night. What is it that you do? Do you know? Do you know what it is that you do well for God? I'm not talking about what you do well in the street. I'm talking about what do you do well for God? You got to know what that purpose is. And then once you know what that purpose is, you got to work and prepare yourself to engage in ministry. Why? Because we're all one body. And if we're going to work at our highest capacity, we all have to know what it is that we're doing. Let's work on that. Let's realize how important it is that every member is doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's hard for me. Every day about 4 o'clock, when I'm doing my final walk in the building, my knee start bothering me. I've been on it all day. And then, you know, I'll stretch it out. When I lay down at night, my whole, all of this start hurting. And it's all because my knee not working right. So I got to strengthen my knee. We got to strengthen ourselves so that we can move in the right direction as it relates to God's work. What are you? What's your body part? Are you a head, an eye, a nose, a liver, a heart, a hand? You know, the foot? You might even be the whole foot, just a toe. I don't want to be a toe. Take one of your toes off your foot. I guarantee you, you'll be like, man, that toe matters. Telling you. Eddie George's whole career ended when he messed up one toe. Every piece of the body matters. Every piece of the body needs to be celebrated. And if we celebrate and work towards growing in that area, we're doing what God expects us to do. God gave his whole body for this body. He did it when he died on the cross. He suffered, bled, and died. He rose on the third day. And when he rose with all power in his hands. And that is the best story any man could ever write. It's the best story known to man, because that action itself is what gives us the right to be able to worship him on a daily basis. If you are falling by the wayside, or if you're just wondering, I don't know what my body part is. I'm just kind of aimlessly walking through life, being a child of God, but I'm not doing anything to impact God's work. If you're dealing with that and you need some prayer or you need some help and some direction to be able to overcome that and to be able to be more useful, you can do that right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.